said, "Daughter of Zion, wake out of your slumber and do the thing that I have called you to do." Intercession has to arise within you in this day and in this time, because there's not much time. And I need my intercessors on the front line. And I know that I don't know everybody in here well, but I know there's more people that understands exactly what I just said. You've been sitting on the back row, just being quiet and taking it all in, but that game is done and over, and now you're on the first string. So you've got to get in there. And he says to wake up out of your slumber. Okay? Wake up out of your slumber.
Chris, that is an absolute, it was like you're sitting in our kitchen this week. Absolute confirmation from the Holy Spirit. Word for word, scripture, even the scriptures. What is happening that people are not walking in their gifts? The cares of this world are choking it out. Please receive that today. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow.
Can you just play for a couple minutes? I won't preach longer than you can play. How about that? All y'all should jump in on that. Now, I'm telling you, I've got so much that the Lord has just dumped on me in a good way that I have literally asked him, "God, help me put it in order the right way." And I just want to touch it, just like to create a taste and just dip this into your mouth. And maybe open your eyes to see why you're fighting so much right now. I don't mean fighting amongst ourselves. I mean fighting. Some of you are fighting for every day. Feel the squeeze of life. It has become very real. When we first started this church, I spent months preaching on Ephesians. And since this COVID season hit, I've spent Wednesday nights preaching about Ephesians, or out of Ephesians, about our identity. And God wants you to know who you are, so that you can possess his promises. He wants you to know who you are so that you can possess his promises. Ephesians in the New Testament is what Joshua and Judges was in the Old Testament. Joshua and Judges were a foreshadowing of New Testament Ephesians. Do you remember the word inheritance that came to Moses? Promised land that came to Moses? God took them to a place of not enough. You can look back to the times that they were in Egyptian bondage. Not enough, to just enough, to more than enough. And all of a sudden, when they came into the land of promise, there was a day that was the last day that they ate manna from heaven, because God had something prepared for them from that point forward. And where we're at right now, we are at a place, if we realized who we were in Christ, we would possess his promises and be powerful instead of pitiful. There is a lot of the church world right now that is pitiful, helpless, weak, anemic. It's not because they don't have power, they just don't know how to access it. And it's not just wearing a badge that says you have access. It's walking in the authority that you have to access the promises that you believe with confidence that God is able to accomplish in your life. The thing's not just going to go on and on and on and on. There's going to be a last day. But I want to show you something that the Lord showed me, and I can work this out later, and I plan to. But just a few scriptures, and it don't even have to. You can pull them up. I want you to keep playing because I'm not going to go deep into this, but I want you to know. Joshua, Judges. First scripture in Joshua. After the death of Moses, that's what it says. Moses, my servant, is dead. After the death of Moses, God had made some promises. And he wasn't done with his promises because Moses was dead. He was going to carry it out to Joshua. So you have the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, all of this promised land is taken. And in the book of Judges, they have to come back and inherit, possess the promises. And the promises went like this. There were 12 tribes. 11 of them will divide an inheritance. But the Levite tribe, I will be your inheritance. I will be your portion. They all get to divide up their portions, but to the Levites, God would be their portion. But it went like this in Joshua, after the death of Moses. What happened after the death of Moses? Joshua and the people had to gear up because they were going to have to fight. Then you go to Judges, and the first verse says this, after the death of Joshua. So in Joshua, you have the death of Moses and all this warring that takes place. And then in Judges, you have the death of Joshua. What's following that? War. Battles to possess. God said inheritance. Spoken through Moses, carried out in Joshua. But in Jude, Jude is one chapter right before the book Revelation, verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. So he talks about promised land through Moses. Moses dies and the people have to fight. And he continues to talk about promised land. And he gives them Joshua. And Joshua dies. And the people still have to fight. All the way to the New Testament, we have Jesus, who now promises something greater than all of that. Heaven. Forever. Eternity. And what are we told about that? We have to contend for our faith. We have to fight. Why? Because there's an enemy. And Satan can't stop what God said, but he can distract you from getting your portion of it. And your eyes have to be fixed on him. Let me just read a couple more scriptures. Philippians chapter 1. Paul is talking about his chains, and he's talking about where he's at in life. And he said, I'm ready to die. A matter of fact, I want to die. But for your sakes, I guess I'm going to have to stay here a little bit longer. And then he says this in verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. There are those right now that are struggling. There are those right now that are fighting. There are those right now who are actually not just struggling, they're having to suffer. Right now, there's a church in California. East Coast time, West Coast time, 3 hours behind. 12:30 here, 9:30 there. They're getting ready to meet and break a court order that says they can't. And we'll see what happens. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man, fighting for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Things are lining up. And you're either on the side of the Lord or you're scratching your head and waiting and seeing. But we don't have to just wait and see. When we have faith, we have to wait and listen and move according to him. It didn't just say contend. Another translation says this. It says that you earnestly contend. The word earnestly is added to convey the intensive force of the preposition to contend. Earnestly contend. That doesn't mean that you contend for a minute and stop. Like, you contend on Sunday through praise and worship. Man, we were fighting. We were contending. And then on Monday, we just sit back. Earnestly means to continue the thing that you're doing. Because that's what's called for right now. But without fear, because we're already victorious through him. Whatever that looks like. But I know this, when Moses saw that burning bush, God told him, he said, take your shoes off. Ground you're standing on is holy. And just like that, Moses became his representative. And when Moses died, Joshua became his representative. And a pattern was developed right there where God changed all kinds of things. And the pattern became this. God said, Joshua, I'll speak to you. You will command the officers. The officers will command the people. And there began this trickle-down effect. And it started making sense about the oil that hit the high priest's head, that trickled to his beard, that went down to the hem of his garment. Do you understand that the oil that hit the head lost no potency at the hem of the garment either? Didn't lose any strength, didn't lose any value. Same oil. The thing is, it's got to trickle down. Because if it'll trickle down, it'll line up with what God's word said. He's talking about a group of people that believe in him, but they have one mind and one accord. That's what keeps the oil potent. One mind, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Do you understand? Am I talking Greek to you right now? Do you understand what I'm talking about? We're to be of one mind and one accord, not marching around saying what Pastor John said, but understanding what his word said. That's why I'm telling you, don't let anything else become your main feed. You can get feeds from other places. And I know some of you really study stuff out, and I'm not knocking that. And I'll tell you this, I get so many things that you guys send me, and I do try to look at it. I can't always comment on everything. I try to look at it. There is a lot going on. But let me give you a warning with that. Don't let anything else become your main feed. Because if you do, you'll become distracted, and the enemy will advance on you. We are not supposed to be those that shrink back, and we're not supposed to be those that walk about in fear. Because if you're fearful, the slightest little noise will scare you. There's a place he wants us to be, and he can take us to it. And God has always used opposition to advance his kingdom. And he's got it all. He's not nervous.
That's right.
He's got it all. And I believe the reason that we've gone through places of testing in our lives is to prepare us for where he wants us to be. Can I tell you that? How, you know, I know that we love to say, hey, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He's about to give a blessing. I listened to a song this week, and it almost turned my stomach. It was just all fluff. God wants to bless you. If I was you, I'd get in. He's about to bless you. Here it comes. And that's all it is, like a cheerleading thing. Let me tell you how God is with his blessing. He will test you sometimes before the blessing.
Yes.
Do you remember where he said he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it? We want the blessing, but we don't want the breaking.
That's right.
Why does he do stuff like that? Because sometimes we think we're ready for blessing. And what we thought we were ready for, we weren't ready for yet.
Right.
And then the blessing starts looking like a curse. You know, when you get an advance on your job, you know what comes with that advance? Responsibility. You know what comes with that advance? Pressure. Pressure. And if you're not really ready for that advance, what you thought was going to be a blessing will crush you. And God wants you to be at a place where you can handle what he's about to really put on you. He does have a blessing that's coming. But there's a price to pay. And some of the testing that you've gone through is to get you ready so you can see that you can face the trial of your life and God is still right there. And you will go on the way to that, you will find yourself in your flesh wondering, where in the world is God at? You'll feel like you're all by yourself. It happened in the Bible. People felt like they were all by themselves. Have you ever felt like you're all by yourself? Have you ever wondered where God's at? I don't want a false finish line in my life. And you know the story. You know the story of Jericho how the people were walking around Jericho and God had given the order about Jericho. Be quiet. For all these days, you're going to be quiet. Now you're going to take one day and march around Jericho. Oh, I'll break this thing down some more next week. But as they would go around Jericho, they would blow the trumpets. And the people on the inside were scared to death. Matter of fact, they were locked up inside because nobody wanted anything to do with the Israelites at that time. Because they had seen the power of God on his people. And they had locked everything. Everything on the inside had to stay on the inside. Everything on the out had to stay on the outside. God had used Rahab the harlot. God can use anybody. I'll break this down some more next week because this is an incredible story. But I'll tell you this. There was a sound in the air of victory that was forthcoming. But God's people, he made them be quiet. They couldn't say a word. He said, don't say a word. You just march. I'm going to send these trumpets out in front. In front of them, you'll have men with swords in front of them. Don't do anything. See to it that you do nothing. So they did that for 6 days. Y'all remember the story, right? It was an awesome story. On the seventh day, they marched around how many times? 6 times. And on the seventh time, they shouted. They shouted, and what happened? The walls came tumbling down. Incredible story, right? The sound of the trumpet simply meant this. The shofar blast meant victory was forthcoming, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Amen. Yes.
Can I tell you, for God's people, we don't have to stand on top of a building right now with a bullhorn and yell out, victory's coming. There's nothing you can do about it. That's already set. And you already know that. So don't let the enemy distract you from that knowledge. Don't miss what God's about to do. But if we leave the story at the shout. The walls came tumbling down. Well, that was an awesome story, kids. Y'all ready for a snack now? I can remember back in the day, we had the flannel graph board. I aged myself big time. About 20 of y'all know what I'm talking about. I know because Christine told me about the days, and I was like, what is a flannel graph? Not fair.
I was still in diapers, just saying.
But we stopped the story at the shout and the walls coming down. Can I tell you what happened after the shout? You know what had to happen after the shout? Fight. Fight. Battle's not over after the shout. And right now, we're in a place in time where there's a whole lot given to praise and worship. The shout. On a Sunday morning, it sounds good. And I love ours. I love our praise and worship. But I can tell you that Monday's coming. After the shout, Monday's coming. And that's where the scripture says, contend. And you can't be, but I really praised yesterday, but I really shouted yesterday, and then wonder why you're having to fight. When the word clearly says, contend, contend. I can't tell you exactly where we're at in history. I can't tell you what's about to happen. No man knows the day that the Lord is coming back. He's coming back, but we don't know the day. It says he's coming back as a thief in the night. But I tell you this, it is my plan and my goal for me and my family and this church to be ready when he calls, when he comes.
That's right.
and to be found faithful in Him. And that's where we're also always supposed to be when it comes to history, where we're at right now. Be found faithful and contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. I'll tell you this. There's a whole lot of shout in these pages of notes right here. And I can't preach it yet. I'm done. And you're about done playing, aren't you? Told you we had a deal. There's going to be times that we're going to have to shout. But there's also going to be after the shout. And let me just drop this on you. As you mature in the Lord, you're going to find out. You're going to realize that there is reward. This is what the scripture said. It said that He chose them on behalf of Himself. He said, take your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground. You become an ambassador and representation. I've said that many times. An ambassador, wherever their feet touch, is covered by the sovereignty of the land that they come from. God chooses some people. There are people right now that are suffering. We're seeing suffering. We're not suffering as much as we feel like we're suffering. We could suffer more. And if we do suffer more, you've got to understand that the end result of that, if you carry yourself the right way as a representative of Christ, the end result of that, I mean, Paul, while he's writing this, Paul's in chains when he's writing this. But he said this, he said, even the people that have me in chains, they realize my chains are unto God and not unto them. Everywhere he went, God used him so mightily. But the reward of your battle in God, you had to buckle up for this one. The reward of your struggle, the reward of your battle, you know what it can look like? Your next battle. Who's he going to put back into the battle except for one that conquers? If he's made us where we are more than conquerors, who's he going to use? Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. Can you ask God just now, lift me up so I can see what you see? Let me be faithful where you have me. If I have to suffer, let me suffer well. When Kenzie left us and went to heaven, one of the most beautiful things anyone ever told us, because if I could have at any moment, I saw that little girl suffer, 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 and suffer some more for 20 years. And it is very hard for me to come to terms with what I saw the last few days of her life. You know. But what you said, what my mother-in-law said about Kenzie, is the most wonderful description of her. She said, Kenzie suffered beautifully. I believe if you really believe in God and He chooses suffering for you, I believe He raises grace inside of you for those moments. I think of Stephen who was being stoned, who looked at those people that were stoning him, and he looked up to God and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. My word to you today, don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid. Lord, I thank you for the shout. I love the shout. And I thank you for the times that I've actually had to suffer in my life. Because out of that, there's a backside to it. There's a backside to it. There's a payment that was made. And you are good, God. Let your people stand with confidence. Let us contend for the faith that we have without fear, without fret, without worry. Lord, you're drawing a line in the sand, and we're going to be found on your side, holding your hand, believing in you, acknowledging you, trusting in you, being directed by you, being led by you, having our steps ordered by you. Let us be obedient to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's reward. There is a reward for you in everything that you've been through, but you have to redeem the things that you fought for. And the Lord knows what it is. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory in our lives, but it did not come without a fight. There is peace that passes all understanding to the believer, but it does not come without a fight. There's a price to be paid, and I'm going to go to the cash window and get paid. In other words, I'm going to redeem what the Lord has allowed me to go through. Christine calls it picking the enemy's pockets. I love that. I've used that so many times. Let me end on this scripture. It is by constant use of God's scripture. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 12 and 13 talks about how we should be past a place of just the milk of the word. Because if you're just on the milk, you're not ready for the promises of God. You're not ready to divide the scriptures. But it's by constant use of His Word that we grow into maturity. Let it feed you. Let it be your main feed. If you're attentive to what's going on right now, God's allowing you to be there, but He wants to remind you, keep this Word first. Do you hear me? Keep this Word first so that you won't be distracted. And if you won't be distracted and you'll stay focused on this word, you will advance in territory.
Yes.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing of your word. Thank you that you've got incredible promises for us. Promises that you made long ago of inheritance, of promised land, and of heaven, and of eternity, and promises of forever with you. And that whatever we go through, you're right there with us. Lord, I sense your nearness to your people right now. And you have us. And you always have. And we love you. And we trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Contend this week. Contend.